Sundarad Madhava Kunja Bihari
Terima kasih. Daim Vishnu Par Paramahamsa Pri Radhagachad Stotra Sat Sri Samadhi Sarangis Sarabhai Charanarvind Bhakti Vedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Bhai Sarabhin Ki Iskand Bibhiti Founder Charya Sabhan Grace Sri Prabhupada Ki Namacharya Sri Lahridas Thakur Ki Samavata Bhakti Vrindhi Ki Harinama Sankirtana Ki Rantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jainitaya Gaura Pimanandi All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees all glories to Sri Guru and to Sri Gauranga all glories to Sri Prabhupada Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Mukham Karoti Vasalam Pangum Nangayate Girim Yat Kripa Atmaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinataranam Yat Kripa Atmaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinataranam So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter number 1. Chapter 3, entitled Krishna is the source of all incarnations. What is it? 14?
14.
14, yeah. Rishibhir.
Rishibhir.
Yachito.
Yachito.
Heje.
Heje.
Navamam.
Navamam.
Parthivam
Parthivam
Vapuhu
Vapuhu
Durbhemam
Durbhemam
Oshadhir
Oshadhir
Vipras
Vipras
Trinayam
Trinayam
Sa
Sa
Ushatamaha
Ushatamaha
Rishibhir Yachito Bheje
Rishibhir Yachito Bheje
Navamam Parthivam Vapuhu
Navamam Parthivam Vapuhu
Dugdhemam Oshadhir Vipras
Dugdhemam Oshadhir Vipras
Tinayam Sa Ushatamaha
Tinayam Sa Ushatamaha
Ushatamaha, right?
Yeah.
Rishibhir Yachito Bheje
Rishibhir Yachito Bheje
Navamam Parthivim Vapuhu
Navamam Parthivim Vapuhu
Dugdhemam Ushadhir Vipras
Dugdhemam Ushadhir Vipras
Tinayam Sa Ushatamaha
Tinayam Sa Ushatamaha
Rishibhir Yachito Bheje
Rishibhir Yachito Bheje
Navamam Parthivim Vapuhu
Navamam Parthivim Vapuhu
Dugdhemam Ushadhir Vipras
Dugdhemam Ushadhir Vipras
Tinayam Sa Ushatamaha
Tinayam Sa Ushatamaha Rishibhir Yachito Bheje
Navamam Parthivam Vapuhu
Navamam Parthivam Vapuhu
Dugde Maho Shadhar Vipras
Dugde Maho Shadhar Vipras
Tenayam Sah Utsattamaha
Tenayam Sah Utsattamaha
Rishi
ऋषिभिर्याचितो भेजे
नवमं पार्थिवं वपुः दुग्धेमाषद्भिरप्रास्ते तेनायां सौषत्तमः
ऋषिभिर्याचितो भेजे
नवमं पार्थिवं वपुः
दुग्धे मामौषधीर्विप्रास्ते
नायं सा उषत्तमः अरे इस दुग्धे माम औषधीर विप्रास ना विप्रास्ते ऋषिभिः
By the sages
यचितः
Being prayed for
भेजे
Accepted.
Navamam.
The ninth one.
Parthivim.
Parthivam.
The ruler of the earth.
Vapuhu.
Body.
Dugdha.
Milking.
Imam.
All these.
Oshadihi.
Products of the earth.
Vipraha.
O Brahmanas.
Tena.
By.
I am.
This.
Saha.
He.
Ushattamaha.
Beautifully attractive. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
O Brahmanas, in the ninth incarnation, the Lord prayed for by sages, accepted the body of a king, Prithu, who cultivated the land to yield various produces. And for that reason, the earth was beautiful and attractive. Kindly repeat after me. O Brahmanas. In the ninth incarnation.
The Lord.
Prayed for by sages. Accepted the body of a king.
Prithu.
Who cultivated the land.
To yield various produces.
And for that reason,
the earth was beautiful
and attractive.
Purport.
Before the advent of King Prithu, there was great havoc of maladministration due to the vicious life of the previous king, the father of Maharaj Prithu. Someone remembers his name? The intelligent class of men, namely the sages and the brahmanas, not only prayed for the Lord to come down, but also dethrone the previous king. It is a duty of the king to be pious and thus look after the all-around welfare of the citizens. Whenever there is some negligence on the part of the king in discharging his duty, the intelligent class of men must dethrone him. Could be a politically sensitive purport. The intelligent class of men, however, do not occupy the royal throne because they have much more important duties for the welfare of the public. Instead of occupying the royal throne, they prayed for the incarnation of the Lord. And the Lord came as Maharaj Prithu. Real intelligent men or qualified brahmanas never aspire for political posts. Maharaj Prithu excavated many produces from the earth, and thus not only did the citizens become happy to have such a good king, but the complete sight of the earth also became beautiful and attractive. Rishibir yatito bheje navamam parthivam vapuhu dugdhemam osadhir vipras tenayam sa usattamaha. O Brahmanas, in the ninth incarnation, the Lord, prayed for by sages, accepted the body of a king, Prithu, who cultivated the land to yield various produces. And for that reason, the earth was beautiful and attractive. So some very important instructions here in the verse and the purport given by Srila Prabhupada. It is, especially on the occasion of Janmashtami, we are reminded of the reason why the Lord descends or appears. Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya sadiskridam duskritam dharma samstapanarthaya sambhavami duge duge. That the Lord appears to give protection and give pleasure to his devotees. Paritranaya sadunam sadhu vinashaya sadhuskritam, those who are duskritina, impious, sinful. He comes to actually annihilate or remove those undesirable elements. And then the third, dharma samstapanarthaya, to re-establish the principles of dharma. So those who are meant especially to protect and uphold the principles of dharma are those in the higher echelon within society. That means the brahmanas and the kshatriyas. The brahmanas especially are the ones who are meant to understand and to see that these principles of dharma are being followed and applied. And as stated here, when such a situation, when the principles of dharma are threatened, not upheld, not followed, then actually it is a duty, very clearly mentioned here, it is the duty, Prabhupada, he uses the word, the intellectual person, to dethrone the king. Of course, we know intellectual means brahmanas. It is the duty of the brahmanas to actually dethrone such demoniac mentality. And the example is there, of course, a whole chapter describing how one king, Vinu, he became, because the king in Vedic society, monarchy is the system whereby it's actually the best system, very scientific system also. Nowadays, monarchy is regarded as archaic and it is rejected. People think it is because it is undemocratic. So democracy is like the popular movement nowadays, not monarchy. But actually, monarchy, when things are in proper place, when the king especially takes advice, takes proper guidance from the brahmanas, then it will work very wonderfully. But sometimes, because kings by nature, kshatriya means predominantly in the mode of passion. So it means he tends to be very passionate in his activities, And unless he is accepting some guidance from someone in the mode of goodness, he will definitely be making mistakes. And one who is king also by nature is surrounded by so much of opulence and so high position, everyone offering respects to him. So it becomes, you know, our tendency is to become pasta. So this is what happened to King Venu. And as a result, he actually stopped the performance of Jagyas, rejected the advice of the Brahmanas, etc. And the whole system, when the whole principles of Dharma are not upheld, when the principles of Varnashrama Dharma in particular are not upheld, then there is havoc within society. And one of the obvious characteristics which is mentioned here, explained very nicely by Srila Prabhupada, is that actually before Prithu Maharaj became the monarch, because of the sinful activities of King Venu, the whole earth had become like, was not producing. And therefore, Prithu Maharaj, he had to give special importance, special emphasis on again, through different jagyas and sacrifices, and engaging also the citizens in performing jagyas, to again have the earth produce. How the earth produces? The earth will only produce if there is proper jagya. So he reintroduced the various jagyas which King Venu had stopped by Brahmanas. And also, jagyas can only be performed when there is ghee, which means when the cows are protected, you know. That's why that's one of the main reasons the cows are the pillars of Dharma. The different products of the cow, especially the milk from which we can get ghee, is what is enabling Brahmanas to perform their jagya. Without ghee, we cannot have deity worship. How you will install deities? Cannot install deity. We install deities by milk, by ghee, by yogurt, by cow urine, cow dung. These are the five main ingredients by which deities are installed. So if there's no cow, no cow protection, no cow products, then there's no temple, no deities, you see. So therefore, that means Brahmanas are not able to perform their activities. One of their important activities through deity worship is to actually give guidance and direction to the general mass of people. Without proper guidance, without proper direction, the mass of people go astray. And in this way, they do not take up their respective duties within the system of Varnashrama. And as we see nowadays, we were going yesterday to some different programs, that's what's happening nowadays. Actually, the whole earth is like being misused, grossly misused. We see, instead of beautiful rice fields, big ponds of whatever, yes, salt and
aquaculture,
so-called aquaculture. This is demoniac. This is totally demoniac. And now we see practically very less cows. Mostly people take to raising buffalo. You cannot, in the Shastra it does not mention that you make ghee from buffalo and, you know, pour on the deities. There's a big difference. And cows also, in the Shastra it speaks about different breeds of cow, different quality of ghee. There's a very, very huge science which is practically speaking lost or unknown. You know, how to use different kinds of ghee for different purposes. In the same way, for example, like we have different trees that give different flowers, and each flower has a different scent. So different types of cows give different kind of quality of milk from which one can extract ghee, which serves different purposes. All these things are practically lost in Kali Yuga. Still, in Kali Yuga, the principles of dharma need to be established. That is why Lord Chaitanya has come. And whereas previously the brahmanas were very qualified, by mantra they could dethrone. Well, in a similar way, by mantra also the devotees of the Hare Krishna movement are meant to dethrone this kind of demonic mentality. Mantra is Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare
Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is the powerful mantra, this is the recommended mantra in this age of Kali, by which this demoniac mentality can actually be overturned. And actually it is our duty and responsibility, and as we were mentioning a few minutes ago, actually even now, even today, it actually begins with land and cows. It actually begins with land and cows. It is short-sightedness on our part to think that we can actually fully and properly implement Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement if we neglect these two basic principles of having people, the mass of people, and the mass of devotees. Also, we speak about the general mass of people, we should also speak about the general mass of devotees. The general mass of devotees are not brahmanas by nature. Just like in the general mass of people, very small percentage are brahmanas. We can see within our own society, ISKCON society, how it's very difficult to actually find qualified brahmanas. Because qualified brahmana means, first of all, he will not be working for a salary. And secondly, he will mainly be involved with these six activities of studying the shastras, of teaching the shastra, of knowing about worshipping the Lord and spending significant time every day in worshipping the Lord, and of teaching others to worship the Lord. Through these four activities, he will actually become qualified as a knowledgeable sadhu, who can understand about the principles of dharma. Those who with whom he comes in contact with will recognize these qualities within him, and they will naturally want to support in different ways and donate. So one of the activities, the fifth activity of a brahmana, is to accept charity. When one properly studies and teaches the Vedic literatures, and also properly performs and supports deity worship, and also teaches that to others, then naturally that charity will come. And then the sixth activity is to actually give in charity, because the brahmana only needs a little bit for his maintenance, and whatever extra comes, he will distribute to others. So that is actually the Vedic system. When we don't have such qualified brahmanas, then nobody knows what is what or what to do. So therefore, here it is mentioned that it is the duty, responsibility of intellectual class of men to change this demoniac mentality, which is destroying actually the whole planet. It is destroying. We are generally unaware. We are generally, let's say, a combination of being unaware and also oblivious. We don't care. Most people don't really care about what is happening because they're so self-centered. As long as their little thing, their little world is okay, the rest of the world can go to hell. As long as my little patch of whatever is protected, then. So this is actually impersonalism. Impersonalism. We are not concerned. This is the opposite actually of Vaishnavism. Vaishnavism means being very concerned about the welfare of others, especially about the spiritual welfare of others. And also understanding that in order for that spiritual welfare to be protected and to be fostered or practiced by people, there are some very basic elements, some basic orders within society which have to be in proper place. Means people need to have at least some basic food. That's why Prabhupada said first is food. Within the Varnasrama system, actually, two things are stressed by Srila Prabhupada in regards to our material necessities. Prabhupada stressed first is food. The second thing he stressed is first is character. First is character. Within the system or within the context of education, that's where it begins. First is character. That's why within the Vedic, let's say, Gurukul system, those who are brahmanas, those who are teachers, gurus, they will not teach someone unless first they ascertain what is the character of that person. If someone is a bad character, then he is, he may be very intelligent, but if he is of bad character, he becomes disqualified to be receiving transcendental knowledge. Even he becomes disqualified to receive even ordinary material knowledge. Because bad character means one will misuse that knowledge. This is a very important point, very interesting also, and very, it's so, actually, very common sense. Something that we don't find in our present educational system. Nowadays, you teach anything and everything to anybody, as long as you pay. You have money, then okay, I'll teach you anything and like that. Regardless of the qualities or qualifications of that person. Vedic culture is not like that. Vedic culture, guru will test. He will first test the student, whether he is capable, whether he is inclined. So he will look at what is called disposition. That's actually five principles within the context of education, which are, all of them actually, are unknown or not followed, not applied within modern education. The first one begins actually with the definition itself of education. People don't know actually what is education or what education is for. So proper definition of education needs to actually take into consideration both what is called matter and spirit, and the source, the origin of this matter and spirit, and the relationship between. That is actually knowledge. That is the basis of education. Otherwise, forget about that is not education. Whatever is omitting or missing that those elements, even one of those elements. The second quality is what is called disposition. What is the mentality? What is the mental disposition of the individual? That is actually supported by the verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. Pranipat. Pranipat means actually disposition. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadeshanti te jnanam jnanena sattva-darshinah. This is actually a very important verse in the context of education. If those three elements are not there, that person is not properly qualified to receive education. So, the definition, disposition, and then delivery. Is the third element within education. That there must be a proper place, a proper setting, whereby education is imparted or given. And within the Vedic system, that is within what is called a boarding system. Gurukul means actually boarding, not day school. Day school is not the medium to give education. And also, the big cities, where there's all kinds of distractions and all kinds of heavy modes, in particular mode of passion and mode of ignorance, is not conducive to provide education. Traditionally, education is given far away, removed from the hectic social conditions. Therefore, in the Vedic literature, we hear about forest universities. Universities were in the forest. Srila Vyasadeva, who he was the foremost of all the philosophers and the foremost of all the professors. In India, what are they called, professor? In Indonesia, when somebody becomes a professor, Guru Besar. They call Guru Besar. Besar means big. Big Guru. Yeah, Guru Besar. Guru Besar is like the title of professor. In Indonesia, it's not that you're teaching, you are Guru Besar. You are Guru. In Indonesia, the word for teacher is guru, because many other words are like Sanskrit. So there are many gurus, actually. In Indonesia, full of gurus, you know. And amongst some of those gurus, one may become Guru Besar. One of our devotees, Vishwambar Prabhu, you know? Vishwambar Prabhu became Guru Besar 2 months ago. Yeah. Guru Besar. So Vyasadeva was Guru Basar. He was Mahaguru, you know. But where was he? You know, he was in the Himalayas, you know, in a small kutir. Didn't have any big building, you know, big campus, you know. So delivery of knowledge, where knowledge is meant to be imparted, is very, very important. And we're completely missing. Part of the delivery of knowledge is that the teacher and the student, they must live together. They must be living in the same place. So that is the third element within education, which we don't find. The fourth is called design, curriculum design. Design means that you have to take your knowledge from some proper source. That proper source is actually the Vedic literature. How much of the knowledge given in different universities are taken from the Vedas or Vedic literatures? Nil, nothing. You know, they don't even know about the Vedic literatures. But real knowledge, both material and spiritual, is all within the Vedic literatures. And therefore, in Gurukul system, just like in Sringiri or the very traditional Gurukul in India, they take their knowledge only, exclusively, from the Vedic literatures. Don't need anything else, you see. Because everything else is mixed with all kinds of speculation. And therefore, you know, it's like every year you have to get a new textbook. You know, I mean, the next batch, they can't inherit your book because some new series has come out, you know. Some new data, you know, has come out. So therefore, naturally, within the system of modern education, like we were discussing the other day, the concept of truth is like changing all the time. There is no absolute truth. Nothing is absolute. Everything is changing. So design, proper design of curriculum is very essential. And the last point is direction or destination. You know, what is the purpose of all of this? You know, where are we going with this education? Why is education... where is it meant to lead us? And of course, education, knowledge, is meant to lead us ultimately to self-realization. So when self-realization is omitted from the context of education, then it is simply a waste of time. So when we have kings within society who don't know about education, then we have the kind of mess that we have all over the world, you know, where education has become simply a factory to produce different kinds of robots. You know, factory, you produce like machines, right? So now we have like human machine. People have become like machines, practically. You work in the factory, you know. You pull the handle. That is your work all day, and you know, pull the handle. No wonder people go crazy after a while, you know. You do the same activity. This is not factory work. Is like very demoniac. And is, you know, people have to work 12 hours in factories. I mean, you know, I was visiting Malaysia not too long ago, and I was practically shocked to see how many of our devotees, both the husband and the wife, both working in the factory, 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, 30 days a month. No holidays. Yeah. It's like, in order to get sufficient money for the kind of, you know, to live or to the kind of standard that we have created, people, both husband and wife, have to work. So what happens to the children? What happens to them? You know, how can they chant 16 rounds? I mean, you know, you're working 12 hours. That's beside traveling to and coming back from the factory. 12 hours is in the factory. So naturally, factory actually has taken, if we look at the historical development, factory, the invention of factory, it has taken the mass of people away from the land. It has taken the mass of people away from looking after, protecting the cows. And therefore, it has, literally speaking, thrown people into a condition of, practically speaking, insanity. You know, people are completely disoriented, and therefore, naturally, Mother Earth, you know, the whole, when we start neglecting the cows, when we start neglecting the earth, when we start neglecting production, as it is happening all over India, all over practically all the countries, then the whole scenario becomes very, very degraded, very chaotic. And therefore, who can be happy? Who can be happy in this kind of situation? And the whole earth, just like it mentions here, that by the efforts of Prithu Maharaj, yes, the whole earth became beautiful and attractive. And now if we look around, you know, it's like the opposite is there. When we go by train, and especially as soon as we approach places like, you know, Delhi, Bombay, Calcutta, it was like 10 kilometers, 5 kilometers before reaching, you just look on both sides of the train and it's like all kinds of plastic, you know, garbage, and you name it, you know. It's like immediately get a headache just by seeing it, and also by the whole polluted atmosphere that is there. So this is the result of straying from the principles of Dharma. When we deviate from the principles of Dharma, then everything becomes topsy-turvy. Everything becomes upside down, including our mind, including our health, including our mental equilibrium, etc. So therefore, those who are devotees of the Lord, naturally, the more we have this understanding of the welfare, the actual welfare of people in mind, then we will be naturally concerned about bringing about, as Prabhupada would say, Prabhupada actually used the word overhaul, bringing a complete overhaul to present society. So actually that is our business as devotees, and we do that primarily, can only be done through the spiritual process of chanting the holy name and introducing people to the principle of Krishna consciousness. So this very important instruction is being given here in the purport. Looking at the time here, so we cannot elaborate much more this morning. If there's any question, we'll take one or two questions if possible. Yes.
The mention of the produce.
Yes.
So when you say produce, like now the scientists are working and they say we have got a breakthrough, a green revolution and things like that. We've got a breakthrough, produced a lot.
Yeah, yeah, so many breakthroughs. One breakthrough after another breakthrough.
So how to see it, like they are producing with using fertilizers. And how to...
It is all bluff. It is all speculation, and it is all ignorance. It is all ignorance, because it's simply anything that is speculative is ignorance. They don't know. they're changing all the time. Recently, like in Indonesia, maybe about a year back or 2 years, the government, after spending the last like 15 years introducing all of these chemicals and this and that, now they're beginning to understand, well, maybe it's not working out as well as we thought. And they're having a hard time convincing the farmers to come back to the natural way of doing. Because now, you know, and it's very difficult also because they're indebted, right? The whole new system, just like nowadays, right and left, people are accumulating, buying so many things because, you know, it's a very nice system of credit system. It's so such a wonderful invention, you know. Now we don't have to wait 20 years, we immediately can get it. But people don't know that for the next 20 years you have to labor like a slave, you know. And then so many things happen. And so the scientists, Prabhupada was always pouncing on their head, you know, because the so-called scientists, whom everyone, you know, practically speaking, worships, you know, yeah, they're like the present, you know, deities of the age, practically, they're misleading, because they are themselves not in proper knowledge. So it is so easy to mislead, you know, innocent people. It's like you can very easily mislead children, but that is not being responsible. So therefore, normally, actually, scientists are meant to be brahmanas. Actual scientist means intellectual. Intellectual, actually, are brahmanas. But that is why we have to come back to basics, basic definitions of different things. You know, what is basic definition of knowledge? What is basic definition of advancement? What is basic definition of education? All of these things. They don't have the proper definition of most of these terms, you see. And there is like, they're very popular because naturally they're simply addressing the so-called, base needs or basic needs. Actually, they're not even attending to the basic needs of people, but it's like alluring. One of my godbrothers sent me a small quotation from some writer, someone who has some insight as to what is happening. And that writer, he's not a devotee. He was mentioning how the modern scientists and materialistic persons, they have learned the art of seducing people into materialism. Of attracting, seducing, very, very strong word, you know, it's like, you know. So actually, because we have this body, right? So if people present to us always all kinds of, you know, things that are attracted to our senses, like that's all explained in the Bhagavad Gita, the more one fixes one's mind on the objects of the senses, one will develop some attachment. Some of these guys must have read the Bhagavad Gita, you know? Because they're applying those principles very nicely. And, you know, they're getting some good results. So we should not, we have to be very intelligent. Devotee means somebody who's very intelligent, who sees beyond and behind, you know, what is taking place. So it is all a massive, like what is it, like when people are misguided on a grand scale. Yes.
When people are not ready to accept the process of chanting.
Yes.
Is it possible to be successful in this varnashram setup?
No.
The most important thing is they have to take Bhagavad Dhamma.
Yeah, chanting means that is the most effective process by which one will become purified. If one is not properly purified, one will misuse the varnashram system. This is what has happened actually for many centuries, like in India. We were mentioning how even like since the time of Lord Buddha, practically the whole of Kali Yuga, varnashram has been not used properly. Because that element of daivi, divine understanding, is missing. So when and the basis of that for Kali Yuga is the chanting of the holy name. So therefore, that is why actually we need to begin. We begin from this level of please take up to the chanting. Prabhupada, he started the whole movement by introducing the chanting of the holy name. So one has to develop faith, strong faith, ado shraddha, in the chanting of the holy name. One will thus be able to become purified himself, and then by being purified, one will be able to understand and take up more easily, more successfully, more effectively the system of, let's say, actually that is what Narada Muni mentions. Narada Muni gives a list of 30 qualities in the beginning of the seventh canto, chapter 11, when he begins, you know, to describe. For five chapters, he describes the whole system of Varnashram, chapter 11 to, what is it, 16, I think?
15.
Yeah, five chapters, seventh canto. So in the very beginning, in the 11th chapter, in that purport, or in that area where he mentions about 30 qualities, Srila Prabhupada explains that among those persons who are able to develop these 30 qualities, we choose amongst those persons, and they are the best ones who will be able to introduce Varnashram. It's very interesting, actually, that these 30 qualities begin with Satyam, Daya, Tapo, Saucham, the four basic pillars of Dharma. They begin with the four pillars of Dharma, and they end, these 25 qualities, 30 qualities, 25 or 30? I think, yeah, 30 qualities. They begin with these four, Satyam, Daya, Tapa, Saucham, and they end with the nine process of devotional service, Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, right up until Atmani Vedanam. So already, those who are practicing Krishna consciousness know 11 of the 20, of the 30 qualities, yeah. So, in other words, Varnashram can only be properly introduced by people who are devotees, you know, who are following these principles and who are practicing Sravanam Kirtanam, that means chanting the holy name, hearing Bhagavatam. Like that.
Connected to this, like many times with this kind of Varnashram behind the mind, the preaching also differs.
The preaching
differs.
Differs.
As usual, preaching like come to the temple and
okay,
just take up chanting.
Yeah.
But with Varnashram, you know, I understanding the preaching also differs. This is what I have seen.
Can you explain a little bit what you mean by the preaching differs? Means is different kind of preaching?
It's a mind becomes broader. I mean, we preach differently.
Oh, okay.
With this knowledge of Varnashram.
Right. Yes. Yes. There is definitely an added dimension. There is an added dimension which is often not there or missing when one is unaware of or not understanding the scope of Varnashram. Yeah. actually, that is why it is important, and for some reason or. The full scope of what is meant to be the preaching mission of our society needs to be very clearly understood, you know, by those who are preachers. You know. So those are given by Srila Prabhupada. They're quoted in that book, Make Vrindavan Villages. You know, Prabhupada identified divisions which he termed as movements. Beginning with the Sankirtan movement. Sankirtan movement, especially in the matter of chanting the holy name and also of distributing that holy name and the instructions of the Vedic literatures through books, you know. So Sankirtan movement in that particular context, of course, we know that Sankirtan means everything also. You know, Lord Chaitanya introduced the Sankirtan movement. But in the context of how Prabhupada introduces or speaks of it, he speaks of the first of four movements as being the Sankirtan movement. Means, especially, the holy name and what Prabhupada referred to, or his Guru Maharaj referred to as the Brihat Mridanga. Means these books. That is one very specialized area, actually. The second one was what is called the temple worship movement. Means understanding the importance of every day worshipping the Lord, therefore constructing temples. Deity worship or temple worship movement, Prabhupada refers to. The third one is called spiritual initiation movement. Spiritual initiation movement means training individuals to take up very seriously to the point of actually committing themselves, of becoming initiated devotees in our Vaishnava Sampradaya. Then they being more committed, they will be helping to introduce and preach the Sankirtan movement. And the fourth one is what Prabhupada is like very unusual in one way, what he terms as the classless society movement. Classless society movement, which is actually the Daivi Varnasrama. Ordinary Varnasrama is not classless. Ordinary Varnasrama, Asuric Varnasrama, is having these divisions, and people get stuck up very often because the Daivi aspect is missing. So Daivi Varnasrama means where bhakti is actually the basis, the focus, and the common activity for all individuals within all the varnas and all the ashramas. And it, and that fourth movement actually opens up a whole, and that's what you're referring to probably, that whole fourth movement, you know, opens a whole vision of how things are meant to be organized within society, which is not so obvious, which may not be so obvious if one is only, for example, concentrating on, you know, because many people, okay, they'll just chant Hare Krishna, which is fine, which is good, you know, but then may not be aware or conscious of other dimensions. So these four movements are actually, they form like a whole, a complete whole. And when we leave one out, then there's some aspect which is not there. Because on the long run, it is the fourth movement which will facilitate the others to actually take place. You know, if we have a proper, you know, social setup, if we have proper leaders, you know, within society, then, you know, the deity worship will be supported. The teachings through, let's say, the teaching of the Vedic literatures through these books and through maybe different educational institutions, etc., will also be supported and promoted. And I mean, everything. Prabhupada actually meant one time he mentioned, no religion can be successful unless it is state supported. You know. I mean, we see in the history. Of course, at the same time, even if that state support is not there, it doesn't mean that we should not go on. You know, that was the argument that Srila Prabhupada was giving when he met his Guru Maharaj, that we are, you know, we are, yeah, we are a colonized nation like that. That's how. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentioned that Lord Chaitanya's movement is above all of these, you know, situations, and we should just, you know, take it up and like that. Because there's always going to be some. But at the same time, we see that unless those who are leaders in society, like those who are meant to be the kings or whatever system may be there, of course, we know that the most ideal system is monarchy, then religious principles will be honored and upheld. So yeah, that point is actually is an important point, and somehow it seems for some reason like difficult to get that fourth point across.
You tell the people directly, suppose you come to the village from the city, I think nobody will accept that.
Very few, you're correct, because people are that is why Srila Prabhupada wanted that we create models, that we have, that we show by example. It's like nobody will take up chant Hare Krishna if you're not chanting yourself. You know. Become a devotee and, you know, smoking a cigarette. If you're not yourself a devotee, you will not convince many people to become devotees. So if we are not ourselves also having models of simple living and high thinking based on, you know, producing from the land, living in a simple way, protecting the cows, then yes, people will not be. So it's like a very, it's like a major transition to come back to that at this point, because, you know, the whole modern society is going in the opposite direction. All of the leaders are having all big, you know, fantastic plans to become whatever, you know, forgetting about the basic principles. So we might be in trouble if we continue the class. Thank you, sir. Yes.
By referring Brahmin.
By?
Referring Brahmin.
By refering to Brahmin.
Brahmin.
Yes.
Is it by virtue of birth or by virtue of acquiring intelligence and intellectuality?
It is not.
Don't you consider scientists also intellectuals? By applying modern methods, they are producing more of produce and feeding big lizards. All essential things.
The scientists are misleading people. They are not based on knowledge. Simply being scientist or being intellectual doesn't mean that one is a brahmana. Brahmana means Brahman. Brahmana means the science of Brahman. When scientists produce or perform activities without taking into consideration
a spiritual aspect,
yeah, then they're not scientists.
They are not.
Yeah, they are misleading. Yes. So,
Brahmin is not by birth.
Brahmin is by quality.
By quality.
Yes. Chatur varnyam maya svistam guna karma vibhagasaha. By guna and karma, by natural quality and also by activity, one is a brahmana.
Swamiji told that feeding is all essential things.
The?
Feeding.
Feeding, yes.
Is all essential things.
Yes.
It should be done by Brahmins. Unless we apply modern technology, how can we increase the produce and feed the people?
Modern technology is bogus. Modern technology is misleading. And everyone, including yourself, if you are upholding modern technology, you have been misled. Yes.
But how can we feed all the people? And
how do you think people were fed here in India before modern technology came? People in India were fed much better than presently when there was no modern technology. There is Vedic technology. You're from India, you should learn.
Okay.
Vedic technology is based on using very simple technology that is available without all of these machinery, not necessary. That is based on what is called, mentioning that about it begins actually with protection of cows. The best economy is called cow economy. All of one's needs can be met if one simply has a small amount of land and a few cows. This is the Vedic culture. And this is the best way in which people can actually cultivate spiritual life. This so-called, this is all asuric. Asuric, when we simply focus on so-called material progress. What is this material progress? You think we are advanced today because we're living, having all these machines, all these highways, all these airplanes? You call this advancement? Every day people are dying because of airplanes. Every single day people are dying because of cars. You call this advancement? It's not advancement. This is all unnecessary. But because people have been duped, people have been tricked by so-called scientists who have no knowledge. And because we have no knowledge, we also believe them, you see. So Brahmana means somebody who will point out the defects of modern society and of modern scientists. One who is omitting, not taking into consideration the spiritual dimension, he is not a scientist.
Mm-hmm.
He is a cheater, professional cheater. And therefore, as Prabhupada would say, we have the cheaters and the cheated. We are being cheated by the cheaters. Yeah. So therefore, knowledge is necessary. This knowledge is in the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Because nowadays, most people are not giving any time. They don't have any time, practically. Nowadays, we're so busy in so many ways. That we hardly have time to come and hear from Shastra. We don't have time to chant Hare Krishna, isn't it? We are too busy going to work or coming back from work. And in between, we have no time, of course. So knowledge. One must begin with proper knowledge. One must know what is knowledge.
And moral value.
Knowledge automatically means moral. Mm. Automatically, that is it. Our time is a little short this morning. Dai Grantarashi Bhagavatam ki
Jai
Shri Prabhupada ki
Jai Bhakti Radha Swami Maharaj ki
Jai. Okay. Can you announce the next one?
Yeah, 11 o'clock.